Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to be with me as we share these next few moments together as I minister on a subject, Kingdom Principles in Finances. And we are still in the process of laying a foundation, but in the 16th chapter of Luke that we looked at yesterday, Jesus made reference to unrighteous mammon, or the mammon of unrighteousness. And mammon itself, according to Jesus, its basic character is essentially unrighteous or evil. Now, money itself is amoral. That means it's neither good nor bad. But because of its role in the present world system, it is essentially unrighteous. Because, do you remember, if you've been listening to the broadcast, I was going to share two major events in the history of man, and we're still looking at Satan's dominion in the world system. But there's another system, praise God, that we'll be looking at briefly. And the love of money is the root of all evil. So often people might misquote that and they say that money is the root of all evil. No, it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. And I'd like to read a passage of scripture found in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and I'm going to start reading at verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, listen to this, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, O woman of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Praise God. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen. That was his exhortation, Paul's exhortation to Timothy. And so, beloved, I think we can agree on this fact, that if anything can lead us away from God, it's money. Because money not only supplies pleasures and comforts, as well as necessities, of course, but especially for the rich, that's the point, where the entire world system is going. They want more money. Why? So they can have more pleasures, more comforts, more modes of transportation, private airplanes and expensive luxury cars and boats, you name it, or ocean liners, goodness, whatever they can afford. And not only that, they want the pleasures that this world can buy. But not only is it so attractive because of those reasons, it is also power, beloved. Money is power. Another translation says, the root of all vices is the love of money, a root from which every kind of evil springs. And so one of the reasons people desire money is that it gives a person a sense of power over their own schedule, over other people. Money answers everything, right? But there was a situation recorded in the Gospel of Mark 12:17, where a lawyer asked Jesus, he said, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar? And what was Jesus' answer? He said, rend to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Now, I said I was going to look at two major events in the entire history of mankind. We've been just looking at, briefly, the fact that Satan dominates this world system. But there is another economy that we want to look at. There's another system of existence, if you will, in which money plays no part. And I'm talking about God's kingdom, God's economy. Beloved, this was the original state of man in the garden, God's kingdom on earth. And you know what? If we're going to be returning to that, what are the present spiritual dynamics as far as the Lord is concerned? Well, hear what Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 55:1, speaking for the Lord, an invitation, ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Praise God. Imagine what life was like in the Garden of Eden. There was no need for money. Everything was bountifully and richly supplied. They had no lack. They had all that their hearts could possibly desire. And you know what, beloved? That's what heaven's going to be like. That is what the eternal ages of living with Christ shall be. Christ is the heir of all things, and we are joint heirs with him. He has given us richly all things to enjoy, and there's no price tag on it. Look at, so often you've maybe heard that statement, the best things in life are free. Look at the beauty of the natural creation, the trees, the running streams and rivers, the mountains, the pastures, the beautiful scenery that God has given us, even in this fallen, unrestored earth. Can you possibly imagine how beautiful it's going to be when he restores all things, including this earth? And imagine an existence without money. That's hard. That would take some adjustment, wouldn't it? Because that's all we've ever known. Beloved, there's no price on the things of God. There's no price on his blessings. We are in the world, beloved, but we're not of it. So we need to learn, how do we deal with this unrighteous mammon that surrounds us? Before I do that, I want to read just a passage from the book of Acts, the 8th chapter. And here we see that there had been a revival throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria through Philip, and the apostles that were at Jerusalem, they heard that Samaria had received the word of God, and they sent Peter and John to them. And so when they were there, of course, they had received salvation, but they prayed for them, verse 15, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 16, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, they were saved, but yet there was, again, that secondfold experience of being filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues. So, verse 17, it says, they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Listen to this now, verse 18. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power. See what I mean? Yeah, power. That on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter, verse 20, said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. He goes on to say, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. So that was Peter's response to the fact of putting a price tag on the things of God. Beloved, we are stewards of unrighteous mammon. We're not to despise it, because it has real value, not only for the meeting of our needs and those of our loved ones, but to see God's kingdom advance, to be able to express God's heart, His character, to be giving, loving people, not to be covetous, not to be holding on to whatever we have, but whatever you receive, beloved, in any kind of material way, even your time, your energies, God's given those to you. And so we should delight to obey Him whenever He speaks to our heart, to be able to be generous and know that if God provided us and we're willing to part with it to bless someone else, don't you suppose He's going to reward you and return to you manyfold that which you have done in His name? Why, even if you give a cup of cold water to someone, Jesus said, you would in no wise lose your reward, praise God. That's storing up treasures in heaven, beloved. Look at this. When Israel came out of Egypt, what did they do? They spoiled the Egyptians. They brought the wealth of that nation out, and they were 40 years in the wilderness, but what did they use? They used that wealth to construct the tabernacle of God, and that, and ultimately, basically, the place where the sacrifices continued at Bethel. And of course, great wealth was brought in from the nations as David conquered the nations in Canaan, and that was used to create this glorious edifice known as Solomon's Temple, one of the wonders of the world. So, beloved, our interest is in God's kingdom. That needs to be our focus and attention. And tomorrow we're going to be looking at what should be the motivation of our heart. What is the scriptural admonition? And are we to pursue perfection and maturity? I'll answer that question. Of course we are. So we'll be looking, going into this on tomorrow's broadcast. And I just want to thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a blessing to minister to you. I'm really enjoying this because to me, it's just one other way. Just like we offer our voice to praise God, it's another ways we can praise God and please God by our faithful stewardship over everything God has given us. Praise God. Well, my time is gone. The announcer will give our contact information. I do invite you to write. Won't you just bless my heart by letting me know what I can stand with you in prayer for? The announcer will give that address. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,